7:43. I'm Teresa Wills. It's West Virginia Morning. Governor Jim Justice announced yesterday that schools will be closed for the rest of the year. But being out of the classroom comes with its own set of challenges.
I miss the most is I don't get to see my friends in person.
But first, 3D printing face masks. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. As the coronavirus continues to spread in West Virginia, the need for personal protective equipment has increased as well. But as Liz McCormick reports, more than two dozen organizations across West Virginia are working to provide this critical equipment to frontline workers.
That sound is a 3D printer at work. This is one of more than 30 3D printers at Shepherd University. For nearly a month, a lab at the school has been 3D printing face shields for frontline emergency and medical workers in the Eastern Panhandle. And since the start of April, the lab has also been printing N95 respirator masks for the West Virginia National Guard to distribute across the state.
The need has been overwhelming, so I've been trying to come in as much as possible to fill these orders.
That's Kay Dart. She's Shepherd University's 3D fabrication manager. Dart spoke with West Virginia Public Broadcasting via Skype from inside the school's lab. Dart and just two other volunteers have been working almost every day. Dart says they keep the team small to limit how many people are in and out of the lab and to follow social distancing guidelines.
When I get in the morning, the first thing I do is I go around and collect all the prints that printed overnight. And usually those are things that will take a little bit longer to print.
Most of the lab's 30 3D printers were loaned from Berkeley and Jefferson County schools to help meet the need. During the day, Dart typically prints face shields since they don't take as long to make. But overnight, she has the printers making N95 masks, which can take up to 8 hours to print two. 3D printers work by following a model that was built in a computer-aided drawing program. The program creates a path for the printer to follow as it brings the model to life.
And it needs that path because what the 3D printer is doing is it is extruding a very thin line of plastic as it travels along that path.
The printer traces back and forth, layering plastic one tiny line at a time until the object begins to materialize. Dart says her lab can comfortably produce 400 to 500 face shields and about 60 N95 masks a week. To date, Dart says they've printed more than 2,000 face shields for the local area and 120 N95 masks for the West Virginia National Guard. Dart says her lab purchases the materials to make the protective gear, but the National Guard reimburses the cost. Shepherd University is one of at least 27 schools, organizations, and private entities across West Virginia working with the Guard to 3D print N95 masks.
There's not just a national shortage of PPE. There's a global shortage of PPE.
That's Major General Jim Hoyer, Adjutant General of the West Virginia National Guard, speaking with West Virginia Public Broadcasting via Skype. PPE is the shorthand for personal protective equipment. Hoyer says the initiative to produce PPE is being paid for through the state's contingency fund. He says West Virginia is not experiencing the high level of shortages that some other states are, but he says we have to be prepared.
I think right now with the great work that people are doing in West Virginia, we're breaking that curve, but we've got to be prepared for the worst, and we've got to be prepared if a second wave hits us harder than the first wave. Like in some places around the world, we've got to be prepared for that.
Right now, the United States is in its first round of coronavirus cases. But a second surge of cases could be possible if social distancing guidelines and stay-at-home orders are not adhered to. Some countries in Asia that tried to relax social distancing guidelines after getting on top of the virus are now experiencing a second influx of cases. That has concerned a lot of public health officials. Shepherd University, WVU, Marshall, West Virginia State, and more, including several community and technical colleges, are all 3D printing N95 respirators, according to the Guard. Even the Boys and Girls Club of Parkersburg is helping out. Hoyer says once these entities create the masks, they're picked up by the guard and sent to a facility in Charleston to be fitted with filters and sanitized. Hoyer says the guard can sanitize up to 1,500 N95 masks a week, while Charleston Area Medical Center, which has also partnered for the initiative, can sanitize 4,300 per day. He says the 3D printed masks are quality controlled, have been tested, and are 99% as effective as traditional ones. For Hoyer, getting the state involved in producing PPE goes beyond supplying critical protective gear to frontline workers, though. He says it's also about manufacturing these items locally rather than overseas.
Not only does that help West Virginia, but we can push that out to the rest of the country and the world. And it's an example of people finally understanding that West Virginia is a pretty damn good place to be. We're pretty innovative. We're pretty creative.
And there's more than 3D printed N95 masks being made. Hoyer says the Guard is also partnering with several other entities across the state to make more protective gear, including reusable surgical masks and gowns, full body suits and boots. And he says there's work happening in West Virginia to create a ventilator that could support two individuals instead of one. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in Shepherdstown.
In the past week, KDART's efforts at Shepherd University to 3D print N95 masks has evolved. A recent design made at the school exceeded the standards of an N95 mask, according to Major General Hoyer in a recent press conference. Shepherd is no longer 3D printing N95 masks, but instead now casting them based on that design. The school is also providing training to members of the Guard so they can produce their own. This week on West Virginia Morning, we're featuring stories about kids and how the state's youngest residents are faring during this unprecedented coronavirus pandemic. We asked to hear from you, and today we're featuring the voices of Morgantown residents Blair Malkin and her son Arlo, who is 8. Take a listen.
Hi, this is Blair, and I'm here at home with my son Arlo. Arlo, how old are you?
8.
And what grade are you in?
2nd.
Where do you usually go to school?
Not near Montessori.
What has it been like to do school at home?
It's been fun, but I want to go back to school.
What's been the fun part about doing it at home?
Well, I get to spend time with my new dog.
And what do you miss the most about school?
I miss the most is I don't get to see my friends in person.
Do you feel like you're learning at home?
No.
Have you learned anything while you've been home?
Yeah, a lot, but I'm still not getting everything done.
Have you been doing more cooking?
Yeah, lots. I learned how to use the stove.
And how are you feeling about things?
Good.
Do you ever feel scared?
Yeah.
What do you feel scared about?
How this can really change the world and make a big impact.
What are you looking forward to the most when this is all over?
Spending time with my friends and going to the games and having fun.
All right. Thank you, Arlo.
That was Arlo Malkin sharing his thoughts about how the coronavirus has changed his daily life with his mom, Blair. To find out how you can share your story, head to our website, wvpublic.org. Kids being out of school doesn't just pose problems for their education. For many, school is also where they get health care, including mental health support from school counselors. Like Shanna Castro is a school counselor at Sissonville High School in Kanawha County. In this audio postcard, she talks about how they are trying to keep up with students and making sure they are coping.
Good morning. My name is Shanna Casto. I'm a school counselor at Sissonville High School in Charleston, West Virginia. We know we have a lot of students who are out there that we help on a daily basis, whether they have maybe a mental health disorder like depression or anxiety, come from dysfunctional homes, are at risk because maybe they're homeless or their parents going back and forth between homes, or they are students who are in foster care. I think our school can be one of the more steady places for these students. It's a place where they come, where they know they're safe, they know they're cared about. It's a space for them to be safe from other things that are happening in their lives. So with schools being closed, how are we going to keep track of these kids? What were we going to do? How are we going to reach out and meet their needs? I think that the biggest thing that the resources that they need is just that supportive person and safe place. Even with our students being out, we still try to touch base with those students that we know are at risk, and we still can make reports of abuse and neglect if we need to and get those resources motivated to help these kids. We also reach out if they need the food. We've still got our food program going. We try our best to connect everybody to resources too. So we're posting on our websites information to help stressed out parents, to help stressed out students. We talk to them on the phone. Our Board of Education has been great about setting up a telehealth trial for our school counselors so that we can actually do interviews via telehealth, kind of like a Skype or a Zoom, but much more confidential, and work with the kids when we need to, because it's just nice to see the face, and I think it's comforting for them. It's not easy sometimes to get communication. We have a lot of students who don't have that internet access, so we have to rely on other ways to contact them, and it's not as smooth. Kids aren't as comfortable talking to us when there are others in the room. Maybe they don't want to talk about their problems. We have a nice page-long list of students who are coming in to get paper packets because they don't have that reliable access for many different reasons. Sissonville is far enough out that we have rural areas that just don't have good access. And then we have families who are in transition who maybe can't afford to have internet right now, or who don't have reliable phone service. But let me tell you, those kids are resourceful, and those families can be resourceful because they've come in and got those packets and are still working. And it amazes me the resiliency that we see with these kids and the families. If we're not hearing from them and we're not seeing assignments turned in, or we've reached out and not gotten anything back, we ask around, hey, have you heard from this child? Do you know what's going on? We try to work with our teachers and our administration to ask, hey, have you heard from this student? If they haven't heard from that student, then we try to find contact. And sometimes that can be a little tricky because maybe they don't have a working phone. So you reach out if you ask a teacher, for example, hey, do you know if this kid has any friends in class? And if they say, yeah, I noticed that the student pairs up with this kid a lot, we'll reach out to them and say, hey, have you heard from the student? Sometimes we can reach out that way and find a way to get in touch. I am not above looking on Facebook to see if I can find a parent contact and just reaching out, or even a student and saying, hey, we're just wondering, how are you doing? Is there anything we can do for you? I think that's the fear, and that's the concern and worry that we all have. Are we missing something? Are we meeting those needs? And it's leaving us with, you know, that unease of thinking, yeah, there's probably someone we're missing out there. But we're hoping as we get more and more resources out and word of mouth gets around that we can reach those kids who need help. You know, I worry about my kids often, but I have to trust also that, you know, we're doing the best we can at this moment and just continue to look for ways to improve.
That was Shanna Casto, a school counselor at Sissonville High School, talking about how they are keeping up with students since school has been moved off-site. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Brittany Patterson produces our show. Our news director is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.